Well, good morning, Landmark family. It's great to be with you. It's been a long time. In fact, over 8 years now since I've had a chance to be here on a Sunday morning. So I am so excited to be with you today. And love what you've done with the place here. And no heat this morning. We're going to make the best of it. Today. Today's like a homecoming for me, and it's so great to see so many faces today that I've not seen in a long time because some of the dearest people in my life who've had some of the greatest influences on me as a person and who I am today and what's important to me in my life came out of being shaped in this church family. And certainly people that were second grandparents to me, serving with my staff team for 15 years here in a variety of ways, and love so many of you dearly. And I think about those influencers in my life, people like Martha Jackson. And is Martha here this morning at this service? I don't know if she's here at this service or next service. Martha was one of those transformative Sunday school teachers in my life. And we used to have the coolest VBS rooms. Nobody beat our VBS rooms. But I had her as the smallest child as my Sunday school teacher. And I always remember Miss Martha. She had so many beautiful ways to teach the scripture. But she taught us about missions because she cared about the peoples of the world. In fact, Miss Martha had gone. And Landmark in the early years had been supporting a work in Thailand for a long time. Miss Martha went to Thailand. She came back. It was in our Sunday school class. She had the Thailand flag and taught us about the people and the culture and had things that we could touch and just grew to love and be in awe of that. And so as a Sunday school teacher, she was pouring into us. And I just want to say to those of you who teach Sunday school to younger generations, never underestimate the power of your influence of life-shaping teaching on the next generation, because you may not see for decades the fruit that grows out of that, but God is sowing into young hearts and young minds a passion for his glory amongst the nations. And so it was my joy in 2017 when Miss Martha and I got to travel on our first mission trip together, and she joined me in the country of Malawi that I've been traveling to for 15 years, and she was a hospital chaplain for us, and to watch her move so beautifully in between the rooms and pray for patients and touch people and love on them, and to see all of that sowing into my life in the youngest age come full circle because she had put into me, and therefore I was able to put into others. And that's been the heart of this church for as long as I've known it. That willingness to sow, to be a blessing so that we could be a blessing. I think about people like Tom Phillips, who had a call to Ukraine that you're seeing on the lot on the news right now. In fact, the places in Ukraine where Tom would visit is now a war zone where Russian separatists have taken over control. And Tom had an open door and would go into universities and using character formation is really teaching scripture to folks and developing relationships. And I had a chance to join Tom and watch him so beautifully engage with and build up the local church. In fact, I still get emails today from local church ministers there asking for prayers and staying in contact. That's the power. So many of you, several people, I think of Ken Collins over here and others, and William Cooper, who went to Ukraine, who that was an important formation in their life. And of course, dozens of you have invested in the nation of Malawi in the last 18 years or so since we've been traveling to that country. I'll never forget the day that John Blanchard called me up after he had heard us talk about a heart for orphaned and vulnerable children. And he said, what do we need to do to make that happen? And within about 14 months, we were flying over for a grand opening celebration because a new children's home had been built and had become a reality. And we welcomed our first children, and that grew exponentially, super quickly. And then you have like people like Phyllis Collins, who is a school teacher here at Jeff Davis High School, devoted her entire summer vacation to going over and loving and teaching those children and teaching house mothers who were taking care of those children. And this is a picture of Phyllis with Naomi, who's one of her house moms that Phyllis invested in. Naomi Naomi was illiterate, couldn't even sign her own name. And Phyllis taught her how to sign her name, taught her how to read and write. And so every time I get off the airplane in Malawi, if Phyllis isn't with me, they say, "We're glad you're here, but get back on that plane and go get Phyllis." They're crying when Phyllis isn't with them because Phyllis has poured out her heart and poured out her love and emotions. And as a result of that, we have kids through the years that have come through the children's village there who now college graduates. We have dozens and dozens of kids who have graduated university now because people like you went and served and taught and did VBS and Bible studies and served in education, joining Phyllis. And there's too many of you to name that have been on short-term mission trips. This is a picture of a kid named Desire who just graduated with a degree in public health. We have kids now that serve in our hospital staff as laboratory scientists and nurses and teachers and all kinds of career fields because you as a church continue to make that happen. You continue to give and invest in people that many of you have never met but are transforming nations. I think about the vision that we had in around 2008, 2009, to build a surgical center because in Malawi, you have millions of people with no access to surgical care. And people began to respond to that. And we had engineering trips to completely transform a facility that wasn't adequate for hospital care. And teams of you went over and served and dug trenches. And I think about Al Crosby, who not only helped give the materials that we needed to get the electrical grid up on our campus up to speed, but then sent his employees from Crosby Electric to make that happen a reality. And then dozens and dozens of you through the years have come and served on those kinds of trips where you've prayed with and been with medical patients and seen people's lives transformed. I think about people like Eric Gwynn, who's sitting right here, who is an engineer by trade. He's not in the medical profession, but every year I know I can count on Eric because he's coming to run our autoclave and sterilize instruments. He's not trained in that. He just loves to serve in that way. I think about Junior Bagwell and Dick Thompson climbing ladders and helping build buildings. And all, so many of you have given through the years, and now hundreds and hundreds of people have literally had their lives changed as a result. I think about our work and our efforts in Turkey, which have been so amazing because when we began to dream about placing people in the nation of Turkey in 2007, in a country that's 99.9% Muslim, we knew, man, we are facing an uphill battle. But with God, all things are possible. And so the very first thing that we did was to send a prayer team to go to that city where we have people still to this day and just do prayer walking and sow seeds of prayer and meeting people and meeting local Christians that we could find and developing relationships. And I think about people like Susan Clark and Paul and Marla Evans who were on those trips and were sowing seeds and we saw amazing fruit. I was going back and rereading this week my scouting report that we did in that place. And here we are all these years later since 2007, 15 years now, we've had people there that are on the ground still to this day. And we get photos of people giving their lives to Jesus. And the church that we originally partnered them with in that place has now expanded and built another campus. And more people are coming to faith in Christ. And the pandemic has only accelerated that. Because you believed and you invested in that so many years ago, all of that fruit has become a reality. And I think about our work through the years in China, which began in our campus ministry, where we began to send some of our college graduates here that went in our campus ministry to do a year, 2 years, 3 years in China as English teachers, university professors, and think about in 2007, we had gathered a special group of people, which not only included some college students, but it included people like Bill and Judy Bates, who were in their 50s when I approached them and said, "You know, I think God has a purpose and a plan to use you in China, and I want you to think about quitting your job here at Faulkner, although you're just now at a place where you've been working in children's homes all these years. You have good benefits now. You have good health insurance. You have good retirement now, but I really think that God has a purpose and a plan for you, and they, for some reason, believed me and quit their job and spent 13 years along with some other amazing people just investing and loving and having people into their home and leading people to faith in Christ, and people like William Cooper baptizing people in their bathtub and being able to worship with the underground church. It was such a beautiful experience to see all of that happen because you invested and you believed and you sowed into that. We watched through the years our teenagers develop a heart for missions. And again, that happens in the earliest ages when people like Al Milligren and Jimmy Dobbs are back in We Praise and they're teaching kids about the nations and sowing into them a heart. And our We Praise kids used to sponsor one of our Malawi orphans and they're learning a heart. And then we'd send our teenagers down to Ciudad de Angeles in Mexico and they would do VBS and help out with construction projects and invest in so many of those students who went as teenagers, gave their life to full-time and career missions. I think about people like Trent Merriweather, who moved over to the nation of Jordan, who lived in a Syrian refugee camp, sharing and teaching about Jesus. I think about people like Dylan Kirkland, who now work for Pioneer Bible Translators, raising up the next generation who are going to translate the scripture into new languages. Where does that start? It starts up here in this youth group room because some of you believe and invested in. I think about people like Emily Johnston, who also moved overseas to the Middle East to work with Syrian refugees in the land of Turkey. All of that because you invested. So many of you, I know a lot of you may not know me or have been a part of many of these stories, but in 2005, we did our first Mission Sunday in this place, and we had a big, audacious goal back then for our very first one. We thought, wouldn't it be cool if we raised $100,000? That would just be a mind-blowing amount so that we could take kind of this vision that we have to put into reality and have the resources that we need to begin to send people forth into the nations. And on that day, this church family gave $167,000 that first time, and our minds were blown, and all of a sudden, we had the resources to begin putting people in the field long-term, which led to our immediate hire of a couple named Kevin and Charity Linderman, who had their eyes set on the Sukuma people in western Tanzania. And they moved there in 2007, and we had this amazing prayer service right here in this stage where the elders came and laid hands on them. And we knew when we were sending them off to that place that we were sending them to a hard place where we knew there was a really high probability that not only they, but also their children would have things like malaria and be exposed to other diseases. And yet they had such an amazing 13 years in that place where hundreds of new churches have been planted over the years by them and their team. Church leaders developed. And now, when they've come back to the States, Kevin runs something called African Christian Hospitals, where they're now planting new medical works in North Africa amongst unreached Muslim peoples. And all of that's happening because you invested. Because you gave, because you believed in the mission and the vision of the gospel going into the nations. Where do we get that from? Where does that passion come from? Where does that sacrifice come from? The years and years and years of fruitfulness and sowing and investing, where does the root of that come from? Well, it comes from the gospel. It comes from a desire to want to make the name of Jesus great amongst the nations. And this is what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 10. If you've got your Bible this morning, would love for you to turn into God's word with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. where Paul says here, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, this word, everyone, in the Greek is a really technical word that means everyone. It means all people, all nations, all tribes, all tongues, all cultures are invited to salvation in Jesus. They're invited to relationship with himself. And for Paul to look out at the world, as segmented as it was, as difficult as it was to get to some of those places in that day, Paul looks out and re-echoes the command of Jesus to go into the whole world because we want everyone to make much of the name of Jesus. There are no closed nations to God. And we could look out today at countries like North Korea or Iran and be intimidated by all of the obstacles, but they're not obstacles to God. That God loves them and cares about them just as much as he does all the other peoples of the earth. And you see Paul's train of thought develop here. If we want everyone in the globe to know the glory and the name of Jesus and to come to saving faith in him, how will that happen? Well, he says in verse 14, how then can they call on the one that they haven't believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? And so in the mission of God here, everybody has a part to play. In the mission of God, you're either going, you are sending, or you're disobedient to the call of the gospel going out into the nations. Not everybody can go, and Paul knows that, which is why he says there's got to be senders. And what we're doing today on Mission Sunday is purposing ourselves as senders. There's not an expectation today that everybody's got to have their suitcase ready to go. But some of you will. Some of you will travel. Some of you have. Some of you do on a regular basis. You go. You're the people like the Phyllis over here who goes and spends time with kids and sows and invests in their lives. And some of you will go on medical mission trips. And some of you will go on prayer journeys. Some of you may even move overseas in the coming decades for God's purposes. We don't know what God has in plan, but some of you will be goers. Most of us will be senders. But let none of us sit on the sidelines as if we don't care. We can't not care because eternity is at stake in the globe for millions and billions of people. And if we just cower down, or if we think our contribution is too insignificant here, that one church in Montgomery, Alabama, what can we really do? Look at the stories that we just told. Look at the fruit that's being born that thousands and thousands of people just in the last 20 years know the name of Jesus because we believed we were serious about the gospel going into the world. So it was 20 years ago that this church got really serious about releasing, sending, and raising up and training. And there's a group of people that came together called the Mission Vision Team. It's a group that still exists today. And this is what they think about. This is what they pray about. How do we send people? And where do people need to go? Where are the strategic people groups in the world today that need the gospel, that don't have access to the gospel or gospel witnesses? And that's what they think about. And they think about how to take care of those people who are currently serving overseas. How do we resource them? What do they need? How can we pray for them? How can we support them emotionally? What are the needs of their kids? All of those kinds of things are super important. And how do we create a culture here of sending? Because we're taking Romans 10 seriously. How can they hear unless they're sent? And some people have got to be going in that. And that's what we're doing today. We're participating in the sending and supporting. We're dedicating resources in just a moment. When you give an offering, we're dedicating those resources to make sure that happens so people can call on the name of Jesus. It just gets me so excited as I was thinking about and reflecting on all of the stories. And I'm only telling a small fraction today. I could spend the next hours going through the room and talking about all of the people in this room that have made a difference and that fruit is growing into that. And that one day we'll be in eternity with many of those people from the nations who you'll get to meet and worship with because of the kinds of things that we're doing here today. And I just want you to know, I have been so, so grateful and humbled to be a part of these stories. And the recent chapters in the story of God. But I wonder what the next chapter will be about. What are the coming stories to be written that we will tell in 10 years or 20 years about the fruitfulness and about the sending of God in the nations? Who are the kids that are in We Praise today that in 20 years will be dedicating their life to global missions, to unreached people groups in the world? What new works of compassion may be started in the coming years because this church has been and continues to be serious about the gospel going into the world? And that leads Paul to his concluding thought in Romans 10, where he says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." One time, Charity and Kevin Linderman were here home on furlough, and Jody Chestnut came running up to them and said, "I need you to take your shoes off. I need to take a picture of your feet." And I thought, that is the weirdest request. They take off their shoes, she takes a picture, and she frames their feet and puts this verse on top of it and gave it to him as a gift. And I don't know if she kept a copy for herself, but I always thought about that picture. It was a beautiful picture, not because their feet were the prettiest feet in the world, but because of where those feet go, because of the steps that those feet took. They're beautiful feet because they take the gospel to people who don't know the name of Jesus. And I pray that God will continue to raise up an army of beautiful, beautiful feet. And that God will keep you supplied with every resource that's needed to accomplish the next chapter in His story. And I just want to pray over you now. Ask God to continue to unleash people from this church to go to be senders and to change the face of the globe. And so, Father, now in this moment, Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for the testimonies and the stories and the willingness and the dedication of all of those who have had open hearts to be receptive and obedient to your command, Lord. And as awesome and as grateful as we are today for all of the stories that have been, Lord, we know that you're not done, that your worldwide purposes continue. Father, that you are continuing to raise up and send out, Lord. And I pray that you will continue to give every resource, every dollar that's needed, every person that's needed to step up and say, "Here am I, send me." And Lord, I ask today in Jesus' name that you will be glorified, that you will lead the nations to faith in Jesus Christ. And that starts here today, Lord, because your Spirit moves in us to continue to be ascending people. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Wow, thank you, Wes. Good morning. Some of you know me as William. Some of you know me as Tex. Some of you know me as the former missionary to China. What you may not know is that a few months ago, I was asked to take on the role of interim chair of the Landmark Mission Vision Team. So in my first meeting with the MVT, I expressed my number one goal was to avoid getting up here on Mission Sunday. So you can see how well that's going. But a lot of the time when I think about Mission Sunday, I think about the big financial goal. And don't get me wrong, that's a very important part of this day. And Buddy will talk more about that later. The funds that we raise today, the goal we've set, goes to fund missions that we're already committed to for the next year. So if you give generously, there's much more that we can do. Our theme today is My Mission. So before you bring your offering, I want to make you aware of some opportunities for you to get involved in the missions ministry at Landmark. So there's a table out back. There should be a QR code and lifelines for some opportunities for you to serve. And the first opportunity is if God has gifted you in prayer. I hope you'll sign up for a monthly or less frequent email update to pray for missions and our missionary families. Next, we have an opportunity for our missionary care team, which we lovingly call the Care Bears. You can help us put together some care packages for our missionary families. There's room for people who would like to donate items, those who are crafty and would like to decorate a box, as well as others who'd like to write a note or send along a greeting card. Our third opportunity is for those of you who may be interested in learning more about short-term mission trip opportunities. This short-term trips, as Wes mentioned, have played an important role in the Landmark Missions Ministry. For me, I was able to go on two short-term trips through Landmark as a college student at Faulkner, and my experience in Ukraine helped lead me in the direction of serving for over a decade in China. So we're excited about restarting short-term trips, and if you sign up for this opportunity, we'll be in touch with more information about teams that are forming and hopefully being sent out this summer. Finally, the MVT is excited about offering an opportunity to learn more about God's work among the nations through an online Perspectives in Missions course. Perspectives is a 15-week college-level course that highlights different aspects of God's global purpose. So whether you go abroad or stay at home, this course will help you discover a vision to live a life of purpose. The online format will allow flexibility in scheduling and will be supplemented by a Wednesday evening discussion group. The online class starts in March, so sign up today for more information. One of the things about Landmark that I love, and something that's true in my own journey, is that we have a history of raising up individuals and teams to be sent out to spread the good news. So at this time, I want to invite Jen up on stage. Most of you know Jen. She's no stranger to being on stage as a part of the worship team. And in the last few months, God has been working in her life and making known opportunities to serve in Turkey. So welcome, Jim.
Thank you. Good morning.
So Jim, before we talk Turkey, I wanted to get your perspective on the online perspectives class. So I know you're currently in the class, so what would you say to someone today who's thinking about signing up?
Currently in week 12, and every church should offer perspectives. And every Christian should take perspectives. It is a course that expands your view of what God is, of who God is, and of what He does around the world. It has certainly expanded my faith. I've been through a lot, and God has provided. I mean, you know, I was thinking, man, I've got big faith because God has done so much for me. And then I go through the course, and my faith has grown so much bigger. It has changed some of the paradigms of the way, some of the paradigms that we as believers have of the way that God would have us to live and to share. It's really been a phenomenal experience.
Awesome. Thank you for that. I haven't been through the course either, so I'm looking forward to going through it as well.
Worth it. Yeah, so every believer should take it. It's amazing.
So turning to Turkey, tell us about what God has been doing in your life, and specifically a conversation that you had with Anne after church one Sunday.
Well, I really felt God calling me to the field before even that conversation with Anne. The conversation with Anne more helped me to hone. Was really God letting me know this is the country. It's been a couple of years that I've been feeling called to the field. I did not know where. I did not know if it would be overseas or somewhere in the States. And then this past summer, my son and I went on a trip. Matthew and I went on a trip around the United States, and we ended our trip spending a week with Andy and Melissa Johnson, who you guys probably remember. And while there, we spoke a lot about the Mediterranean Rim and the need there to take the word and the good news of Jesus over there. And then, unbeknownst to me, the family had come over specifically praying for someone to help with the education of their children. And the Lord bumped us into each other in the lobby when they were here. And I asked her, what specifically can I pray for? And is there anything specifically that you guys need prayer for? And she expressed her concerns and some things that they needed prayer for. And it was then that I knew that Turkey was the place on the Mediterranean Rim that I was to go and be a light.
Absolutely. Well, it's amazing how those coincidences come up, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you've also had the opportunity to go over to Turkey and visit. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that and maybe someone you met while you were over there.
The experience over there was wonderful. The people, the culture there is very warm. It's very community-minded. I would say if I were to speak about anyone, I met so many people over there. I met believers. I met non-believers. I was able to be a part of several outreaches over there. But the one person in particular who sticks out was a Zumba instructor. I went over there and was able to attend a couple of Zumba classes over there. And we spoke at length about many things, something about fellow Zumba instructors. You know, you just kind of connect regardless of where you're from. But what struck me was that there's a hole inside of her that she's trying to fill, and she does not know that the only thing that can fill it is Jesus. That's it. And so, of course, I invited her, you know, to the church, and overall, I would say the people there are starving for God. Like they don't even know what they're hungry for, but they're starving for Him.
Hmm. Wow, yeah, I mean, and that's why we're here today, is because there are so many people who haven't had the opportunity to hear the name of Jesus. So thank you for sharing that. As we prepare for communion, could you give us some things that we can be praying about for you as you discern next steps?
I would say smooth transitions, that God would provide smooth transitions, and that God would give me the wisdom to know not just what to say and when to say it, but also when to be silent. I think those would be the two things.
Awesome. Well, thank you. We'll be praying that. And, you know, as we come to a time of communion, this is a time for us to examine our hearts. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, "Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So I would say to us today that God would rather have your heart than have your money. Before we bring our offering, we have this time of communion. This is a time for us to remember our why. We remember a creator God who loves us so much that he sent his son to die on a cross as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Jesus overcame the grave so that we now have the hope of eternal life with him. And today we remember his sacrifice and his promises through the taking of his body and his blood. Let's pray. Holy Father, We thank you for this bread and this cup. And we ask your blessing upon it. Fill us with your light so that by our words and our actions, we can be a light to the world. Be with Jen as she discerns your will in her life. And we ask that you would strengthen her, Father. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.